If you have your Bibles this morning, you can look at Mark chapter 4, verses 30 through 34. Parable of the mustard seed. What faith can do. That's a good message. At another point, Jesus said if you had the faith of a mustard seed, you could move mountains. Starting with verse 30 in Mark chapter 4, we have the parable of the mustard seed. And he said, how shall we picture the kingdom of God, or by what parable shall we present it? It is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the soil, though it is smaller than all the seeds that are upon the soil, yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes larger than all the garden plants and forms large branches so that the birds of the air can nest under its shade. With many such parables, he was speaking the word to them as far as they were able to hear it. And he did not speak to them without a parable, but he was explaining everything privately to his own disciples. We saw last week the mysterious growth of the kingdom of God as the farmer plants seed and patiently waits for it to grow. The week before that, we saw the four different soils: the hard soil, the shallow soil, the crowded soil, and the good soil, and how it affects the growth of the Word of God in the life of a person. This week, we see the incredible growth of the kingdom of God as the kingdom is compared to a mustard seed plant. Jesus used parables to explain the kingdom. A number of different parables. Matthew's list includes 6 in Matthew chapter 13. Luke listed 2. And Mark's only kingdom parable was the parable of the mustard seed. Kingdom parables begin with Jesus saying, the kingdom of heaven is like. Jesus came preaching that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. It begins with the church, God's kingdom, God's reign in our hearts. The little picture in the four spiritual laws shows that at the center of our lives is chaos until we trust Christ as our Savior. That self is on the throne of our lives until Jesus comes into our hearts. But when he comes in and he takes up residence on the throne in our lives, on the throne in our souls. So it starts in us, it continues into the kingdom of Christ on earth when Jesus returns to set up the millennial kingdom. And it is completed with what the Bible calls the new heavens and the new earth. In our area, we see, I'm not sure if they've come out yet, I haven't really looked, mustard plants in the fields. I think the dandelions come out first, and then the mustard seeds. And they are field plants in our area. But in Israel, it was a different kind of a plant. Dr. H.B. Hackett talked about his experience in Israel. He said, as I was riding across the plain of Acha on the way to Carmel, I perceived at some distance from the path what seemed to be a little forest or nursery of trees. I turned aside to examine them. On coming nearer, they proved to be an extensive field of the plant mustard. I was so anxious to see. It was then in blossom, full grown, in some cases 6, 7, and 9 feet high, with a stem or trunk 1 inch or more in thickness. Throwing out branches on every side, I was now satisfied in part. I felt that such a plant might well be called a tree, and in comparison with the seed producing it, a great tree. But still the branches or stems of the branches when not very large, nor apparently very strong. Can the birds, I said to myself, rest upon them? Are they not too slight and flexible? Will they not bend or break beneath the superadded weight? At that very instant, as I stood and resolved the thought, lo, one of the fowls of heaven stopped in its flight through the air, alighted down on one of the branches, which hardly moved beneath the shock, and then began perched there before my eyes to warble forth a strain of the richest music. All my doubts were now charmed away. I was delighted at the incident. It seemed to me at the moment as if I enjoyed enough to repay me for all the trouble of the whole journey. If you were to look at the mustard seed, it would look like a little piece of dirt, or maybe a pebble. But there is life in that little seed. And if treated right, it will grow into an influencing force in the world. That little seed has growth in it. We saw last week that the word automatic comes from the Greek word, which is translated into English. Growth is special. A statue doesn't grow. In time, a statue might lose its relevance. We've seen statues removed. We've seen statues topple. It wasn't too long ago we saw the statue of Saddam Hussein pulled down. Even many statues of our national leaders have been removed. A mountain doesn't grow. In time, a mountain may even be removed. Notice the mountains on the other side of Grafton as you go toward Troy, gradually being taken away by trucks. But a plant that comes from a seed continues to grow until harvest. Jesus also used the mustard seed to represent a faith that can produce miraculous results. He said to them, because of the littleness of your faith, for truly I say to you, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you. Our faith must be based on the Word of God, not the philosophy of the world. It's hard work to conform your life to God's Word. It's easier to build your worldview by the things you watch on TV or by the interactions you have with friends in person or perhaps even on the internet or other social media. But our plants, the roots of our philosophy, need to go down into the Word of God for us to live by what is true and to live by faith. I've thought of this a lot as I read those things that are printed on Facebook. I've thought about the importance of each person in our congregation going to the Word of God and conforming their lives to God's Word. It's all in there. It speaks to all of the issues of the day. We just need to make it a part of our lives. Like the Christians in Berea, we need to go to the Word of God daily to find out what God has for us. I know some of the preachers on the internet, I belong to some groups of very conservative or very fundamentalist preachers. And they're all the time lamenting the fact, oh, you're not preaching on this, that, or the other thing. But we do preach on those things as they come up in the Word of God. We don't make them a central part of our preaching philosophy. As they come up, we preach about them. And again, I thought of each Christian in the pew. If we're not reading the Word of God, we're not making it a part of our lives. We're like those shallow Christians in the first parable in Mark chapter 4. We can't afford to be shallow We need to be deep in our relationship with the Lord and His Word. We need to be daily reading it for ourselves and saying, Lord, what are you trying to teach me from this passage of Scripture? If it's not affecting your life, you need to read more of it. It needs to become a part of our thought process. Well, this week we see an example of one seed planted that grows into a very large bush or small tree. From the tiny mustard seed, a large plant grows. From insignificant beginnings, a great movement develops. When you look at the manger in Bethlehem and you think of a helpless infant, now known throughout the world, Zechariah wrote, "For who has despised the day of small things?" So Zechariah is saying that these things are going to grow, and they're going to grow large. The mustard seed was actually used as an example of small things becoming large in Israel in Jesus' day. So it was natural for him to use it as an example. Jesus started off with 12 disciples during his ministry. Later in his ministry, there were 70 to 120. Acts chapter 2, the 70 became 3,000. Acts chapter 5, to the 3,000, 5,000 were added. Now every nation has believers. At our pastor's meeting this week, one of the pastors told us that between 2025 and 2030, there will be more Christians in China than people living in the United States of America. Tremendous things happening in China today. Then it mentions the birds. The birds show exactly how big this bush or tree can grow. The birds in Scripture sometimes represent the Gentiles coming into the kingdom of God or being blessed by the kingdom of God. When you realize how the world is blessed by the love of Christ. Again, on the internet, I run into a lot of people today who are critical of God's church and even the Bible. But when you consider the blessings, how many hospitals, rescue missions, and other blessings the world has been blessed with through Jesus and through the Scripture, you realize that the birds coming to that mustard plant of the church can be blessed by it. And yet, in the earlier part of this chapter, when the seeds were sown on the hard ground, the birds came and took away the seed. They were compared to demons in the beginning. Mark 4:4 says, as he was sowing, some of the seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Jesus' explanation was found in verse 15. These are the ones who are beside the road, where the word is sown. And when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. This type of growth and loyalty does not come without notice and persecution. Some of those have included Judas in the first 12, Ananias and Sapphira in the early chapters of Acts, and then Simon Magnus, who sought to buy the Holy Spirit. The more people come in, the more likely there will be people who come in for the wrong reasons. And we can see that today. The first 300 years of the church were filled with constant persecution. About 300 AD, Constantine made Christianity the world religion. And since that time, many pagan practices have wormed their way into the church. Since that time, many horrible things have been done in the name of the Lord and his church. But why did Jesus use parables? John 16:12 said, I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. And so it's true that as Jesus shared the kingdom parables and the other parables, some of the truth was hidden from those who would seek to have easy belief in him. Jesus knew how much people could or would understand. And so Jesus explained the parables to his disciples. The people who heard the parables had time to think about them without coming to the wrong conclusions. Interesting story about the birds. Some few monks came into Brittany in ages past when that country was heathen. They built a rude shed in which to dwell in a chapel of more stones and then prepared to till the soil. But they didn't have any seed to plant. Then one spied a robin redbreast sitting on a cross they had set up, and from his beak dangled an ear of wheat. They drove the bird away and secured the grain, sowed it, and the next year had more, sowed again, and so by degrees were able to sow large fields and gather abundant harvests. If you go now into Brittany and wonder at the waving fields of golden grain, the peasants will tell you, all this came from the robin redbreast stalk of wheat, and they have turned the redbreast stalk into a proverb. So plant the seed and keep planting the seed. Plant it in your own lives, because if you only read a part of the scripture, you'll never have all of the good soil. You'll never have all of the good seed. We need to make it a daily part of our lives. And just a few chapters a day, you'll get through the whole Bible in a year. I thought I'd start this year by reading 10 chapters a day. I'm back into the book of Luke for the second time. I didn't realize I'd go so far so fast. But it's been a real blessing to go over it again and again, to live in the Word of God. God grant us the desire to want to be in his Word. You know, it's a temptation to go to Facebook before going to the Word of God. It's a temptation to check out the news of the day before getting the Word of God for the day. We have a lot of distractions, a lot of people who spend all of their time figuring out how to get our attention in the early morning hours. But it's so much better to start the day in the Word of God. We need to use those one-year Bibles. We need to use the daily bread and the Bible readings that are in it. We need to develop a program for Bible reading that will help us get the whole message into our lives. And having that message, going to all of those other things that would influence us and say, God's word is more important than those other things. If God says this in his word, that settles it for me. And no matter what the opinions are for today, I'm going to sink my roots into the Word of God. Plant the seed in your own life. It's so important. Plant the seed in your children's lives as much as you can. Karen's mother planted the seed in her life. And she tells me once in a while, you know, the things that you say from the pulpit are the same things I heard from my mother. Well, praise God when that happens. Love that confirmation. And if Karen's mom and I are wrong about certain things, she's getting straightened out right now. Can you imagine talking with some of those great saints that we've read about historically in the church? My dad was a Bible scholar. He was the answer man for John DeBryan's radio station out in Massachusetts. And I didn't realize it until recently. He would have made a great Methodist. After all, his name was John Charles. Just thought of that recently. But we get that wonderful tradition from our parents. But even then, we need to get into God's Word to make sure that the tradition that they pass down to us is God's Word. Plant the seed in the lives of your children as much as possible, even adult children. We still need it. We still need other voices in our lives sharing with us the Word of God. I've always thought a wonderful Bible study would be coming together to talk with people who have been studying the Bible throughout the week. What did the Lord teach you this week would be the greatest question ever. And to be able to go around a circle of 10 or 12 people and just hear how the Lord's been teaching them from the Scripture. How that would revolutionize our lives. Because we learn so much when we're getting to teach, when we're preparing to teach someone else. Plant the seed, starting with yourself, your own family. The church, we need teachers in the church, people who are living the Word of God, and then also the community. When I was younger, many of my friends wore around their necks a little cube of plastic, and somehow inside that little cube of plastic there was a mustard seed. And I think probably the girls in my youth group had it. Maybe some of my college friends would occasionally wear it. I don't see them as much today. Maybe it was just a thing that was happening a few years ago, or a good number of years ago, as it may be. But they had those little things as a reminder. But you know those little mustard seeds planted in plastic? Never sprouted. They never grew. They were just a reminder, I guess, that faith the size of a mustard seed, or maybe that the kingdom of God started off small like a mustard seed and grew into a great bush. But the important thing is to plant the seed and to let it grow. And that's what the Lord calls us to do today. To allow the kingdom to grow in our lives. To plant the seed. I really appreciated Aunt Karen and Uncle Bill this week in Vacation Bible School. And I think the thing that impressed me the most, and I didn't catch it the first few times they did Vacation Bible School for us, was that every segment that they did, whether it was Uncle Cousin or Edgar in the ventriloquism, whether it was the magic show, the puppets, and even Barbie's Hall of Fame. I'm not sure if they called it that or not. What did they call it, Karen?
That was called the Ken and Barbie Show.
The Ken and Barbie Show. Every segment, and they were about 10, 15-minute segments, every segment they were planting the seed of the gospel in the lives of those children. If the kids weren't paying attention to Uncle Cousin, they got it with Ken and Barbie. And a lot of them responded to the gospel. Some of them may have responded last year. I remember the story of one Sunday school teacher, I think he was going by David Jeremiah, And David Jeremiah was shaking the hands of people coming out of church. And this woman came by and said, "Pastor, I want you to know," she shook his hand, "that your youngest son trusted Jesus as his Savior this morning in Sunday school." Big smile came across Dr. Jeremiah's face, and he thanked her profusely and said, "Well, praise God and thank you so much that you shared the gospel with my son." And afterwards, his wife was just silent beside him. And she said, "David, you remember that he's accepted Jesus before this." And Dr. Jeremiah said to his wife, "Yeah, I know. But one of these times, it's going to take root. And it's going to grow." And we thank God for every decision that was made or remade in Vacation Bible School this past week as the gospel seed was sown in the lives of those children. And hopefully one day, maybe there'll be an Uncle Bill or Aunt Karen among those 10 or so kids that prayed that prayer to trust Christ as their Savior. And that little seed of the gospel that was sown will take root and grow in their lives to the praise of the glory of His grace. Father, we thank you for all of the decisions that were made at Vacation Bible School this week. We thank you, Lord, that even though Bill and Karen are retired, that they're still faithfully serving you. We pray your blessing on their continued ministry. We pray your blessing on our continued ministry as well, that you might raise up from us many people who have this mustard seed of the kingdom of God, the gospel of God, the word of God, growing in their hearts and in their lives, that they are willing and able, prepared to serve you. So bless now, we pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.